No, don't hug me. I'll mess it up. Good morning, everybody. Just having my roadie do a little mic adjustment. I had problems first service. So I am happy to see you all. Thank you for coming out, even in the risk of the snowpocalypse. My name is Gay. I'm one of the pastors here. And we are nearing the end of our sermon series entitled I Am, where we've been exploring the seven statements Jesus makes about himself in the Gospel of John. Now, these statements reveal Jesus' identity. They are a rich description of his divinity and his purpose and his invitation to everyone to come into a relationship with God. Now, next week on Easter Sunday, Pete will close out this series talking about Jesus as the resurrection and the life. So today, we're going to look at how Jesus describes himself in John 14, verse 6, where he proclaims, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." But I want to start with a little context. And as you know, Allie talked to us this morning about Palm Sunday, which is today. And this was the celebration of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. People were proclaiming him as a king. They were throwing palm branches and their cloaks down on the street as he came through on a donkey. And here's what the crowds proclaimed in John 12, 13. They said, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." So the crowds who had been following Jesus or had at least heard about Jesus and his miracles and his teaching were proclaiming him as a king. They were treating him as royalty. And this was not well received by the religious or political leaders that heard this message. And this begins the lead up to Jesus' arrest, his trial, his death and resurrection. So as Pete mentioned last week, the next three chapters in John 13 through 17 are known as the Upper Room Discourse. Very simply, because Jesus is in an upper room with his disciples celebrating the Passover when he says the words in those chapters. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his death. He's teaching them things that are important for them to know because he's going to be leaving them. But as we often see in the Gospels, and we probably can relate to ourselves, they were not grasping the full picture of what was really about to happen. So as we read our passage today in John 14, I want you to remember two things as you listen to the scripture. First, who is Jesus' audience when he says these words? It's his disciples. It's people who have been following him and have seen the amazing miracles and heard the amazing teaching. And then second, Jesus is in the last hours and days of his life and mission here on earth. And there's an urgency, an importance to the words that he's sharing. So we're going to read through the whole passage all at once, John 14, 1 through 14, and then we'll talk about what we see in Jesus' words. Jesus says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come back and get you so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I'm going." "No, we don't, Lord," said Thomas. Do you remember what Thomas was described as in the scripture? Doubting Thomas. "No, we don't, Lord," Thomas said. "We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." And Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, so why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own. but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Let's pray, and then we're going to dive into these words of Jesus. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are a gift to us. Thank you that you came to show us the love of the Father, to sacrifice your life for us so that we can be connected to God, that we can have a new life. And as we hear your words today, God, would you open our eyes to see you? Would you open our ears to hear your message in this scripture? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in today's gospel reading, Jesus tells us something that may be familiar to you. It's a pretty common passage, a pretty common verse, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So we're going to look at each of these phrases individually and explore the message that Jesus is sharing. So first, Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus doesn't say, I am the map, I am the directions, but Jesus says, I am the way itself. Now, years ago, and I calculated this while I was looking in the mirror getting ready this morning, it was 44 years ago, I was doing a year-long internship that I got college credit for in Washington, D.C. I did a bunch of different things, but one of the things I did was work in an information center in the Capitol. And this was a place where people that were coming for like actual appointments, like a committee hearing or to see a certain representative or senator, would come and let you tell them where they needed to go. So as part of the training for those of us interns that were going to help people get where they needed to go, they told us, don't just tell them how to get there. Don't just give them a map and say, you know, go here, here, here. Which I would have sucked at, by the way. But say this, say, hey, I'm going the way you're going. Let me take you. Let me show you where your destination is. Come with me. And then we would walk them to where they needed to go so they could get there. Now, I think that this is in part what Jesus is saying when Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus shows us the way, he provides the way, he prepares the way, he is the way. The way to a relationship with God, the way to a meaningful life. Jesus doesn't just give us instructions, he doesn't just hand us a map and try to point the way that we're supposed to go. He actually shows us. He accompanies us through the gift of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And instead of just pointing, he says, come, follow me. I happen to be going that way. I'll show you how to get to where you need to go. But there's more than that, right? Because Jesus isn't just our guide, he's the way. Jesus is saying he'll walk with us, he'll show us how to do it, he'll take us where we need to go. And I love his invitation in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, and I'm going to read this from the Message translation. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. There's a key point in this passage where Jesus says, walk with me, work with me, and then watch how I do it. You know, if you're going to watch how somebody does it, before there was YouTube, you had to physically be with that person, right? You had to be with them in order to watch what they did. And so Jesus' invitation to us is like, come along, watch how I do it. I'll show you, I'll lead you, I'll take you to your destination. So we, as people who follow Jesus, are invited to walk and learn from Jesus, who is the way. Now, part of our task as Jesus followers is to help show each other the way and help show others around us the way. The book of Acts says we are people of the way. We know Jesus, we believe in Jesus, we trust Jesus, and we follow Jesus because we know the way. We get to live our lives in such a way that people can see that Jesus is worth following. They can see that we know the way in a confusing world, not because we have a map, but because we have a faithful companion who is walking with us and showing us where to go. The one who alone can show us the way, because Jesus alone is the way. So Jesus is the way, he's also the truth. And once again, when Jesus says this, he doesn't say, I'm telling you the truth. He says he is the truth. So truth is another recurring theme in John's gospel. Going back to the first chapter, when we're told that grace and truth come from Jesus. In John 8, Jesus tells us that we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. Jesus wants you to be free. He'll show you how to be free. In John 16, Jesus tells the disciples that when the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. So God wants to be our guide. And so he's given us Jesus to show us where to go, how to do it. Jesus wants to be your guide. And then finally in John 18, Jesus tells Pontius Pilate during his trial that he came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone, he says, who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. God wants you to know his voice and recognize his voice. Jesus is the truth, he speaks the truth, he guides us to truth, and by this truth we are set free. And what does he mean by all this? So one thing he means is that through him, we learn the truth about God. In our passage today in John 14, 9, it says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Now we know the Father because Jesus is the perfect representation of God. Jesus points us to God, and his sacrifice, his death, and his resurrection reconcile us to God. If we want to know the complete truth about God, there is only one place to look, and that's at Jesus. Jesus is the way that we learn the truth about our Creator, because Jesus and God are one. And when we learn about Jesus, we're learning about the Creator of the universe. And the more we learn about Jesus, the more we learn about the God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. Jesus is the truth who teaches us the truth about who God is. And then finally, Jesus says, I am the life. And again, this is a recurring theme in the Gospel of John. And I don't have time to take you through all 39 places that life is mentioned in John, but let me just mention a few. Going all the way back to John 1:4, we learn that Jesus, the Word, is life, and the life was the light of the people. And whoever believes in Jesus, we learn in John 3, has eternal life. And he gives himself as the bread of life, which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He's the good shepherd who lays down his life and who came that we may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus is the life. Believing in him gives us life, not just life after death, but life right now. An abundant life, a satisfying life, as we read in John 10:10. A life that has capacity for joy and peace and hope and healing, as we heard Tabby talk about this morning. God is love, and Jesus came to show us that love. And Jesus then left us with a gift of the Holy Spirit, whose purpose is to pour the love of God into our lives. And it's through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit that we know love and that we can live in love, now and always.
Jesus is the life because his love gives us life. So he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So what about this last part? When Jesus speaks these words, remember his audience are his disciples, people who already know him, not the crowds, not the religious leaders, not the guards who arrested him, not Pilate who put him on trial, but to his disciples in the upper room. And so he says, no one comes to the Father. Jesus is saying that to those who already follow him. And I think that the meaning of these words is tied up in who he is speaking to. These words are not meant to threaten or scare non-believers or non-followers. To me, that's a misuse of the intent. Jesus speaks these words to those who already believe. They are not a threat. They're a promise. We come to the Father through Jesus. He is our way, our truth, and our life. And the only way that matters, the only truth that endures, and the only life that lasts. Jesus is the one we can trust to bring us to the Father's house. That's what he says in the beginning of our passage today. He's gone to prepare a place for all of us, and everybody's welcome. We don't have to turn anywhere else but to Jesus. When in doubt, we follow Jesus. When we feel lost, we follow Jesus. When we don't know who to believe, we trust Jesus. And when we're struggling to find purpose in our life, we find it in Jesus. John 20:31 says this about the whole purpose of the Gospel of John and the words that were written. It says, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Friends, Jesus is our way, our truth, and our life. And as we follow Jesus, we are given the mission of showing and reflecting that message to the world. We are people of the way. We walk with Jesus. Our lives reflect Jesus to those around us. Remember, the scriptures tell us that those around us will know we are Jesus followers. How? Anybody? By our love, right? That is both an amazing and a challenging mission for us, right? But we know the love of Jesus, and our job, our invitation into the way, the truth, and the life is to be the way and reflect the way and the truth and the life to the world. So when we walk with Jesus, our lives reflect that. We're people of the truth. And as we grow in our understanding of Jesus and the truth, we reflect that truth by the way we live and by the way we love, by the way we care for each other. And when we receive the life that Jesus promises for now and eternity, we get to share that good news with the world. So friends, as we walk into this upcoming week, known as Holy Week, we reflect on the path that Jesus took so that we could all be connected to God. Now, if you already follow Jesus, this is a week that's a reminder and a reflection of the journey that Jesus took to the cross to give us a way to have life, forgiveness, grace, purpose. But if you haven't begun to follow Jesus, or you're exploring what that means, what it might look like, if you have questions, this is a great day to turn your life toward Jesus. A full life, an abundant life, a satisfying life, as promised in John 10:10. And if you have been searching for the way, if you've been searching for a new life, if you've been searching for truth in your life, let me introduce you to Jesus this morning. Jesus, who gave his life so that you could have new life. When I was 8 years old, I was first introduced to Jesus. That has been, you know, like 150 years now, or 55. 55 sounds better if you first say 150. It started out with childlike understanding, but it's been through a whole big journey of, you know, winding roads, bumps, bruises, times of doubt, times of questioning, times of freedom, times of healing. And all the time, though, Jesus was there saying, I'm the way. Let me walk with you to your destination. I'm the truth. Get to know my Father who loves you and created you. And I'm the life. Receive the rich and satisfying life that I've created for you. So if you want to know the way, the truth, and the life today, turn your heart toward Jesus. I'm going to invite all of us to pray together. I'm going to say a prayer. You can pray this prayer in your heart, whether you're following Jesus or asking questions about following Jesus or really desiring to follow Jesus today. Let's pray this prayer of invitation together. So let's just close our eyes, and I'll say a prayer you can pray in your heart. Lord Jesus, I am looking for the way to a life that brings love and forgiveness and satisfaction and healing and freedom. And I do not know the way by myself. I can't do it on my own. I am inviting you today, Jesus, to be my guide, to walk with me, and show me the way, the truth, and the life that you offer. I receive your invitation, Jesus, that says, come, follow me. I'll help you get to where you need to go. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. I want to invite the worship team to come back up. And if you are on the prayer ministry team, would you also come up and get ready to pray for folks today? And would you stand with me, if you're able, as we close the service? So as we end the message, you can stand with me if you're able. As we end the message this morning, I have three tips for you to take this message into Holy Week. The first is to read John 14. And you get bonus points this week if you spend a little more time in the Gospel of John, reading John 12 to 21. That will take you from Palm Sunday, from the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, up to his resurrection. And it would be a great way to meditate on Jesus this week. Second, pray that you can be a reflection of the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus to those around you. Ask God to give you the ability to desire to be more loving and more reflective of his life, and let him do the work in your heart that might need to be done so you can reflect that love. And then finally, your due this week is an invitation. Come to Stations of the Cross on Friday. Walk in Jesus' footsteps to the cross, and then come on Sunday to one of our Easter services. I would love to have you with me at the crack of dawn at 6:30 in the morning behind the building at the fire pit, and we will celebrate Jesus' resurrection, and we will celebrate the new life that Jesus gives all of us. So you have an opportunity this morning to respond to this message through worship and communion and prayer. And if you need prayer this morning for any reason, these folks would love to pray with you. If Tabby's story inspired faith in you, even just small, tiny faith of a mustard seed, you might have had something you've been asking God for 30 years, and you've been disappointed because it hasn't happened, so maybe you haven't been seeking or asking. Today would be a great day to come say, I don't feel like I have much faith. Would you pray with me for this? Jesus wants to meet you in healing, physical, emotional, whatever you need today. So, and if you prayed the prayer and you want to follow Jesus and it's new for you, it's the first time for you, come let one of these folks pray for you. And I'd love to chat with you as well out at the Welcome Center after the service. The worship team will dismiss us when we're done.